here.
We're going to call ourselves back to order now. Some of us are still finishing eating. Just continue to do that, and we will move into the next presentation as we move through our schedule. I hope you had a great conversation this morning. I know we did in our group, a lot of passion and excitement for Liberia and for the area that we're discussing. But we move today to a special presentation on advanced specials in Liberia and missionary support. And we are honored to have with us David Malloy, who's the annual conference liaison for the advance from the General Board of Global Ministries. So we thank you, David, for being with us, and if you'll come and share with us.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I know it's always difficult to be the speaker after a meal, but I'll try to come up here and do my best and keep your attention a little bit. As Keith said, my name is David Malloy. I work with the Advance Office at the General Board of Global Ministries. Just to tell you a little bit about myself, I'm originally from North Carolina, and if I talk long enough, my vowels will get longer, and I'll talk a little bit slower. So, particularly when I'm nervous or something, but I feel like I'm in a room full of friends. Some of the people in here I do know or I have met before in my journey, but some of you are new friends, and I'm anxious to kind of get to know you. Hopefully, we all are here because we have a passion for Liberia. And hopefully I wanted to give you some information about how United Methodist support for Liberia, particularly Second Mile support, is doing. It's a very strong relationship the Liberia Annual Conference has with the United Methodist Church, particularly in the United States. And that is a tribute to Bishop Ennis's leadership and also the leadership of all the mission folks that work in Liberia as well. I could advance the slide just one time. One more. I work with the Advance Office. The Advance is the official giving arm of the United Methodist Church. Hopefully, we try to make sure that people have a channel to express their passion. Their passions, in a lot of ways, particularly monetary, United Methodists are able to give to different projects and different missionaries around the world through the Advance. Over the last 60 years, we've raised over $1 billion from United Methodists. United Methodists are generous. The generosity is in their DNA, and we are happy to be the channel that United Methodists are able to express that generosity. Again, if you could advance the slide. The Advance is the official program within the United Methodist Church through which support may be designated for projects. Right now, we have a little under 900 projects. We used to have a lot more, and over the last 4 years, with the leadership of our director, Sean Bacher, we've been trying to combine projects, condense the amount of projects, make sure that the projects that we have that we offer to United Methodists as channels to mission are the priority projects in the areas in which they exist. One more slide. The mission of the Advance is to be an accountable, designating giving arm of the United Methodist Church that ensures 100% of each gift reaches its intended mission or ministry. How many of you right now give to the Advance in some shape or form, or know that your church is supporting a project or missionary through the Advance? That's great. You'd be surprised how many times I go around the country and ask that question, and it's not 50% of the room. So it's encouraging to see that most of the people here are familiar with the Advance, have used the Advance as a channel to give to Liberia and other areas of the world. So it's great to be amongst friends. And usually, I always tell people when I go to churches that sometimes it's Advance 101 for me. I have to re-explain what the Advance is, but it's good to not have to be able to do that. Again, as I mentioned, our projects are around 941 projects. We just had a application cycle this past year preparing for the new quadrennium. And so in 2013, you should be receiving the Advance catalog for the quadrennium, and it will list all the projects that we have around the world. We have projects in over 100 countries around the world. Next slide. When we looked at our new application cycle, particularly in regards to continuing projects and new projects, we're always glad to have new projects in our cycle, because that means that some of the projects that we have had have either ended or reached their intended goal, and so we have room for new projects to offer to United Methodist. And this year, in the coming year, there'll be 38% new projects and 62% of continuing projects. As I go along, if you all have any questions or anything, please raise your hand and recognize it. Hopefully this will be a dialogue between us all. To be an advanced project, you have to address one of the United Methodist Church's four areas of focus. 35% of our projects address leadership development, 11% address church growth, 18% address global health, and 36% address poverty. Next slide. Again, we have projects in over 100 countries around the world. Let's see. You can see Liberia right here in the corner in Africa, but we also have projects in the United States, South America, parts of Asia and Europe as well, and around the Pacific as well. So there's not a place, I like to say, in the world that we don't have some type of United Methodist connection or some type of way that a United Methodist can support that particular area of the world. Next slide, please. In the regions of the world, about 34%, which is the majority of our projects from the Advance, are in Africa. The next highest is in Latin America, and then followed by Asia Pacific, and followed by North America. We have about 1% of our projects in the Middle East, and 7% are other areas around the globe, and 8% is in Europe or Eurasia. Next slide. Again, we like to continually emphasize when we talk about the Advance that the one thing that makes the Advance really special is that 100% of your donations go to the project that you intend for it to go to. Again, we also like to reiterate that funding through the Advance is not guaranteed. We are not a grant-making body. And so when we do have projects, those projects' support is totally dependent on donor response. And so when we go through an application cycle, one of the more important questions we always ask project applicants is, do you have a particular base of support? Is there already existing support for your project? How difficult or how challenging will it be for us to market your project? Is there an audience in the United Methodist Church for your project? That's a very important question, because in a lot of ways, we have some projects that apply that nobody else knows really about that project, and so we have to spend a lot of marketing dollars in promoting that particular project in order for that project to receive funds. Next slide, please. Some of our previous challenges have been that a third of our projects received no gifts for 4 years, and that was a growing number. But through our new application process, we've been able to re-examine and make sure that projects that are not receiving funds, we talk to the project themselves and ask, is there a reason why there's no response to this particular advance number? Some of that goes to poor quality of information from that particular project. We've tried to address that issue by making sure that all projects submit an annual report every year, and we use that information from the annual report to give to our donors, so that in most cases, when donors receive more information from the project, they're more apt to give. Sometimes it was a longer process. Now we have two application cycles per year, a fall cycle and a spring cycle. And we used to have a reputation for delaying gift releases. All gifts that go through go right out to the project now. We've streamlined our process. And again, the lack of reporting was one of the things that we also wanted to make sure that we addressed. So each and every advanced project is required to give an annual report every year. Next slide. Some of our goals and our goals for this last quadrennium and for this continuing quadrennium, this next upcoming quadrennium, to spend more time promoting projects so that all projects receive gifts. As we kind of shrink the pool of projects that we have, we're able to work more with our projects in a more intensive way. When we had close to 2,000 projects, almost a little over between 1,500 and 2,000 projects a year. It was very difficult to try to manage that many projects. And so now that we've shrank the number of projects, we're able to kind of work a little bit more one-on-one with our projects and promote them in a way, give newsletters, receive newsletters from those particular projects, and promote them in a more robust way. To be more culturally sensitive, we've decided that our advanced application process, projects are able to fill those applications out online. Those project applications are able to fill the application out in their own language. We offer French, Spanish, I'm trying to think what else, French, Spanish, English, and some other languages that help us get more information from those projects. We then translate the information and pass the project application on to the advanced committee. And to also be more accountable and transparent. That's another thing that we strive to do. You can find out information about projects online. You can find project reports, gift amounts online through our online track gift systems. If your church gives a gift, you can find that project, you can find that gift online and connect your gift to the particular project. Next slide, please. Over the last 4 years also, we've gone through a real intensive effort. You can ask Bishop Ennis about this or other bishops that have worked with us in trying to make sure that the projects that we offer to United Methodists are the priority projects in those particular areas. Making sure that the list that we give out per country to United Methodist donors are the projects that are the priority projects in those areas. Also, we also looked at projects with common oversight. Galta Hospital in particular, just to give you an example, there was a Galta Hospital a number, and then there were other Galta Hospital numbers, maybe for a clinic or maybe for medical supplies. We decided because those projects had common oversight, there only needed to be one Galta Hospital number. And so we worked with our project directors in order to combine those projects. Again, I mentioned earlier the multilingual online application system, and also that we auto-release gifts. Next slide, please. In our application process, background and criteria is very important. Projects contact the advance office to apply, then we send them a link to an online application cycle. So if you wanted to apply, you definitely had to contact our office in order to be a part of the advanced application process. It didn't just entail filling out a form. The projects complete the application form, and then the most important thing, all of our advanced projects have to have some relation to the United Methodist Church leadership in those particular areas. And so when we receive the application, the thing we do next is make sure that either the bishop or United Methodist leader in that area is aware of that project. Are they partners? Is that project a partner with the leadership in that particular area? And so the bishop or United Methodist leader in that area has to sign off on that project application. And then General Board of Global Ministry reviews the applications for quality and diversity. First it goes to the program executives, then our program units, and then our cabinet. And then we have a 15-member advance committee that reviews those project applications from a donor perspective. Are there any questions about project support? Okay. Well, let's talk specifically about Liberia. Liberia, for the last quadrennium, about $4,670,335 has been raised for projects and missionary support in Liberia. That is a very, very high number. It's very good. We've been really pleased and encouraged by the response of United Methodists to raise money for Liberia over the last quadrennium. In this quadrennium, there are about 55 projects in Liberia and about 15 missionaries listed as receiving funds through the advance. Liberia projects that received the most in 2009-2012 for that particular quadrennium, was the Liberia Reconstruction Project. In those 4 years, they raised about $686,705. For the pastors and DS salary support, there was about $334,317. And Water for Life raised about $256,286. Those were the highest projects. I have a list of advanced projects and the funds that those projects received from each annual conference. And I can send that to this list, and you'll be able to have access to that information. Next slide, please. In 2004, the next quadrennium, there will be about 20 projects in Liberia. So we've combined a lot of projects. Working with Bishop Ennis, we've been able to have some oversight, and currently about 8 missionaries will be serving in Liberia. Many of the projects were combined, or those projects did not reapply. So we work with the leadership to develop this roster of priority projects. Three new projects that we're excited about that will be offered in 2013 to 2016 will be the Ganta United Methodist Mission Land Protection Initiative. Phase one, it'll be cultivating and developing and promoting agricultural enterprises, the George Way Harley Regional Medical Center, and sheltering the children of John Deantown. These are three new projects that will be offered in 2013 to 2016. So before I go into our talk about missionary support, when we talk about condensing projects and making sure that the priority projects are listed, we'll have 20 projects. But again, the application cycle, we do that about twice a year. And so any projects that need to be reapplied or to apply for new advanced status, we're more than welcome to work with those projects in their application, and we'll continue to work with the Liberia leadership in order to make sure that all the projects that are listed for advanced status are priority projects in that area. I want to specifically talk about missionaries. Missionaries are a very important part of what we do at the General Board of Global Ministries. Sending missionaries out is one of our basic needs, and missionary support is one of those things that we want to look at every year to make sure we are able to study and figure out how we can continue to increase missionary support. We have missionaries in more than 60 countries around the world. The United Methodist missionaries come from many places, backgrounds, and witness and serve in dramatically different locales and cultures. Currently, there are about 186 missionaries serving internationally, and many of these missionaries, we like to say United Methodists, are missionaries are from everywhere to everywhere. And so many of our United Methodist missionaries do not come from the United States, and so they do not have a natural base of support. We need to work more intensely with those missionaries in order to develop and strengthen the relationship they have with United Methodist churches in the United States. So what does it cost to send a missionary? Right now, we average out missionary costs about $53,200 a year. The cost varies depending on what type of service, where they are, what type of work they are doing. About 20 to 25% of that is salary. The remaining cost covers training, itineration costs, housing, insurance, pension, and costs of if a missionary couple or a missionary has a child, the cost of their education. For missionary support expenditures, the advance and support from the advance. Support from the advance covers about 36%. So we need to continue to promote our missionaries, and that second mile giving is very important. About 27% comes from the World Service apportionments that support missionaries. UMW mission giving is another 9% that comes that supports United Methodist missionaries, and other trusts and investments help support the income for United Methodist missionaries. One of the ways that we support our United Methodist missionaries is through churches being in covenant relationship support. Churches partner with a missionary to provide prayerful and financial support. And to be in a covenant relationship is about $2,500 per year, or $5 per church member. How many of your churches are currently in a covenant relationship? and that's about right. The United Methodist Church, although we support our mission projects in a more robust way, we need to find a better way to connect our United Methodist missionaries to our United Methodist churches. And also, as a covenant relationship, the missionary communicates regularly with their supporting church through email and newsletters. Next slide, please. The alarming fact for me is that only about 5% of United Methodist churches are in a covenant relationship, and only about 10% of our United Methodist churches are in any type of missionary support to our United Methodist missionaries. We need to increase that number. We do that by trying to itinerate our missionaries, but also with the advent of technology, the world is smaller, and so we need to find new avenues for our missionaries to communicate with our churches when they can't actually physically be present, whether that's through Skype, whether that's through email, whether that's through other social media. We need to be able to connect our United Methodist missionaries in order for them to make sure that they're a part of the life of the church. It's kind of easy for United Methodist missionaries to be, particularly in the United States, for us to think of them as somewhere else and to think that our communication with them can be limited. But with the advent of technology, we're able to kind of break some of those walls down and connect our United Methodist missionaries through other means to our United Methodist churches. They're important. Their stories are important. Their stories are important to the life of the church. Again, through our United Methodist missionaries, the church is able to be in places around the world. But in order for that presence to be important to our United Methodist churches, United Methodist missionaries need to be able to communicate back the work that they're doing to our United Methodist churches. Next slide, please. Liberia missionaries in particular. For the last quadrennium, 15 missionaries raised about $1,295,228 and for the last quadrennium. Susan Porter, who is, I believe, a dean at Liberia University, she raised about $388,606 in 4 years. The one thing that is a challenge for us is Susan Porter is from the United States and has a natural base of support. And so when she itinerates, United Methodist churches are able to, she's had a previous relationship with our United Methodist churches in the U.S. So we need to figure out how to account for the gap between the funds that United Methodist missionaries from the United States are raising and our United Methodist missionaries that are maybe from other countries that may not have a natural base of support in the U.S., how we can close that gap, and we're committed to doing that. Next slide. These are our United Methodist missionaries that are serving in Liberia. Nancy Carew. Nancy Carew is a teacher with the Food and Nutrition Program of the Women's Training Center in Liberia. Victor is also one of our United Methodist missionaries. He's serving at Ganta Hospital. Many of you know Victor. Next slide. Elma Jackson is a medical doctor, and she's a native of the Philippines, but is also serving at Ganta United Methodist Hospital in Liberia. Priscilla Jaya is the principal of the United Methodist School in Ganta. She's also one of our United Methodist missionaries. Next slide. Helen Roberts is serving as the director of the Department of General Education in Liberia. Albert Willicore is a doctorate at Ganta. He's also one of our United Methodist missionaries. Next slide. Princess Jusu is serving in Monrovia as an instructor at the United Methodist Women's Leadership Training Center. Frito is the director of Children's Ministries in Liberia and the Children's Project Manager in Liberia. Connected to the United Methodist Church in Germany. And as I mentioned earlier, Susan Porter is a dean at the Winifred Harley College of Health Sciences, a part of the United Methodist University of Liberia. These are our United Methodist missionaries in Liberia. If your church is interested in serving supporting a United Methodist missionary, please contact me or contact us at the Advance office, and we can connect you to that United Methodist missionary. Next slide. One of the things that we're doing to kind of address the gap between United Methodist missionaries that are from the United States and United Methodist missionaries that may be from other places where English may not be their first language, and also they may not have a particular base of support in the United States, is we've hired a missionary training coach. Mary Zigbu was a former United Methodist missionary in Liberia, and now she's working with the Advance Office in helping us coach our United Methodist missionaries that need some more support. She will work with the missionaries to kind of help them improve their newsletters, work with them to help them improve their presentation skills so that when they come to the U.S. to itinerate, that they will have interesting stories, they will learn to present their story in a better way. Mary is a 20-plus year United Methodist missionary that has raised a ton of support, but we feel like she has a lot of gifts and graces that she can share with her fellow United Methodist missionary in order to help them raise even more support.
Amen.
Next slide. And again, if you want to find out a little bit more about the Advance, and in particular, maybe your gift to Liberia or gift to a Liberian United Methodist missionary, please contact us at advancinghope.org or contact us directly at the Advance office, or you can contact me. I'll have some cards available to you all. Just wanted to see if there's any questions about some of the things I presented. Again, I do have a slide that I can email all of you. I can email all of you this presentation, but also I can also email you a breakdown of the funds that have gone to Liberia from 2009 to 2012, and it can show you exactly where the funds have gone.
Is the average salary then of a missionary $20,000?
It depends. Again, it depends on where they're serving, what it costs us to send that particular missionary. I think it depends on where they're serving is one aspect. There's also other aspects as far as currency rates in that particular country where they may be serving. So it does vary. $20,000, I don't know if that's the average salary, but I know what it does cost us to send. And so again, the salaries do vary, but it costs about $53,200 to send a United Methodist missionary a year. Yes.
Can you clarify when a church undertakes a covenant partnership with mm-hmm. a particular missionary, does that funding support that particular missionary and their work? Does that funding go into the general pool of salary support for all missionaries? How is that?
Second thing you said, it goes into a general pool to support all missionaries. When a church gives to a United Methodist missionary or missionary number, that church gives those funds in honor of that particular missionary. And so when missionaries raise funds, they're not only raising their own support, they're raising support for the whole missionary community. When I was sharing the number with you about Susan Porter, she doesn't necessarily receive all those funds. But her work helps to kind of make up for other missionaries that may not be able to raise as much support.
But that would be money that was given under her particular missionary number.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. This is a similar question.
Sure.
It's come up all morning in our breakout.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. How difficult or maybe impossible is it for very narrow, specific designations to be made within those broad categories?
That's a really great question, and that's a challenge for us in a lot of places. We receive requests not only for places in Liberia, but also places around the world for projects that churches or individuals have a relationship with that may not necessarily be in Advance special at the moment. We try to honor those gifts. We tell people to kind of further designate. But the challenge for us is that because we don't have a particular relationship or way to follow up on that gift, that becomes challenging for us in order to narrowly designate in that way. And so we try to discourage, but we also think if it's a particular amount, then what we can do is work with our partners in those particular areas and say, is this project worthy? Could this project be part of our next application cycle? Particularly if it's a larger amount, if they want to invest in that particular area. So we try to work with them in that way. But if it's, I want to send $50 to a particular area, it becomes a lot more challenging for us to track those funds. So. It depends on the project, actually. The projects set their own goals. Again, when I talked to you a little bit about the annual report, we asked the project whether or not that goal has changed. Is there, particularly if a project has reached more funds than if they've surpassed their goal. We have to make sure we're able to account for those funds. And so we ask the project themselves to say, okay, you've raised more funds than your particular goal. What else are you going to do with those funds? How has your mission changed? And please account for that. And then we can go in and alter the goal and say, well, we have this new mission. Maybe they need to reapply. Maybe they need to add information to their application. So we're always constantly trying to reassess each project annually, so that we are aware of where that project is in their growth. Any other questions?
I'm not sure this is a question; it's more a comment.
Okay.
I think Methodists generally have been—I don't know whether they've been told, but they have certainly heard over the last half century that their missionary work was provided by their apportionments. Mm. And we know that's not the case. Like, if you were Baptist or if you were an evangelical, you know there's going to be a large mission fair every year, and part of the expectation is that you're going to support that missionary work through your dollars. But that's not a part of our Methodist culture generally. How do we get back to our churches, say, we're going to be in mission, there's got to be some other way of communicating that goes beyond your tithe or your apportionment dollars.
A combination of our missionary support comes from apportionment, but also we receive other amounts from second mile giving. And United Methodists have been generous in both aspects. One of the unique things about our United Methodist missionaries is that, and not to say that we have the best way, but one of the ways that other people send missionaries is missionaries have to raise their own support before they can even be sent. What we do is make an assessment of the missionary placement and try to place people in those things, in those placements, according to their gifts and graces. But we're able to send missionaries right away to particular places because their support comes from apportionment dollars and also from second mile giving. And so we're kind of unique in that way, in that most other missionaries that are sent out, they have to raise their own support. Whereas we pool our money together and United Methodists send our United Methodist missionaries based on that apportionment funds, but also in second mile giving. Other questions, comments? Oh,
David, we put in our packet the advances that we're currently in Liberia.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have with you a list that we could publish of
of the new project?
New ones,
sure.
For next year,
so I can give you.
Know which one of these might be combined. That would be helpful.
Yep. Yeah, there again, the drop is from about 55 projects to 20 projects now. And what I can provide you is an Excel spreadsheet of all the new projects and the continuing projects that we have. And I'm not necessarily sure. I asked our project manager, Ellen Knudsen, before I left, which ones she wasn't quite sure which ones did not all reapply, but I can definitely find that information out for you.
Thank you. Would you have that so that we could download it,
sure,
print it, and give it to the folks before you
yes,
leave?
Yes, I can definitely do that. I have that. I have that Excel spreadsheet of all of our projects that will be continuing in 2013, and then the three projects that I mentioned earlier that will be new projects.
We also had a question in the breakout session for mm-hmm. construction.
Sure.
Let's say that this group as partners want to identify one to three specific projects that we agree we can all work together toward mm-hmm. to get accomplished. What would be the timeline of perhaps getting those projects as an advanced special? When are your application
We have a schedule in the fall and in the spring. I believe the spring one will be in March and the fall one will be in September. And so, again, if there's a consensus in this group that your conferences or your particular churches are going to support the new endeavors, we can talk about how that application, and particularly in consultation with Bishop Ennis, we can talk about how that moves forward. Carolyn?
Further to your answer right now about working with the Friends of Liberia, as
yes.
I call it, and like, what one of the setbacks during an application is the failure to demonstrate clearly
mm-hmm.
how this is not a project of a church
mm-hmm.
or an individual,
mm-hmm.
but a project that has been identified by as a priority.
Mm-hmm.
From Bishop Ennis and his cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Many times executives are called upon to explain why is this application coming from the US?
Mm-hmm.
And you are the ones who set the guidelines
yes.
for all of us.
Correct.
So I think that needs to be really clarified.
Sure.
It's not so important amongst this group because this group has been working with Liberia.
Mm-hmm.
But so many times mm-hmm. projects are rejected because they are not originated mm-hmm. in the Central Conference. Just for you to articulate.
Exactly, and it's definitely one of those things I need to reiterate. And it's one of the things that I encounter as I travel around. People ask me all the time, so how do I get an application? How can my project become an advance? And I always ask them, do they have a relationship with it? In the area where this advance would be? Is the church leadership aware of your project? Do they endorse your project? I always tell people, if you're not able to secure the endorsement of the Episcopal leader in that particular area of the world or a church leader in the area of the world, the likelihood of your application going through the application process is pretty slim to none as of right now, as we talk, as I kind of convey the criteria for advanced status. I always give people that piece of advice. It's very important, highly important, that you have a relationship in that with the church leaders in that area and that they're able to endorse your project, know about your project, and because ultimately, through our office and through the General Board of Global Ministries, those are our ultimate partners in the work that we do. And if they're not necessarily aware of your project or endorse your project, it's very difficult and hard for us to kind of follow up on donor gifts. Any other questions? Bishop.
My question, it come in this year.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to assure you that Liberia Annual Conference with my office has a cordial working relationship with the advance
yes.
and of course with the president Jimmy's office. Anytime that it hits up regarding money that has been sent, we can't trace it, all I do is pick up my phone, either call David or call Callan or call somebody in their office, and the next day I get an answer and the money will be. So you have wonderful people working, especially in advance session of Global Church. So I just want to commend you guys for the wonderful work you do there. I mean, Encore, any all of the offices, they're just wonderful people. So thank you for your prayers. Bless you.
Thank you, Bishop. Bishop is one of our great partners. We we welcome him into our office. He's on our board, and so he's in our building fairly often, and it's always a pleasure to see him, and always a pleasure to work with him. He's worked hard with our team in order to make sure, again, that the projects that we offer are priorities in Liberia. These are the things that are most important to the Liberia Annual Conference and to the work of mission in Liberia. And so we're gracious and we're grateful for Bishop Ennis's leadership and partnership with us.
Another question that came up out of our small group this morning was the time lag from when funds are sent from the annual conference here mm-hmm. to the time that they're actually released in the country. Can you explain that?
Sure. When there's several I'll say challenges to that in some ways. It depends on when the gift was given, how the gift was given. That can delay the gift in some ways. Say you put a gift in the collection plate. Now, more than likely, what happens at your church is the church sends that gift to the annual conference, and then the annual conference sends that to us. Now, if you send it directly to the address I had mentioned earlier at the end of the slide, or directly to GBGM, that may cut out some time in the processing of your gift. But once that gift is processed at the General Board of Global Ministries, an email is sent to the financial director in that particular area of the world, and they're aware that the gift is coming. And so based on that, they're able to anticipate the gift, either alert the other project that the gift is coming. And so they're well aware of that particular gift. But again, depending on the amount, in some cases, depending on if it's a smaller amount, it may take a while for the actual funds to get to that particular. But if it's a larger amount, what happens is the financial person in that particular area of the world has access to funds, and they release those funds once they receive the email that those funds are there in the bank. Carolyn?
To add a little bit to your
sure.
answer, the finance office releases funds usually once a month.
Yes.
To save on bank charges mm-hmm. and also to avoid sending small amounts mm-hmm. which will most likely all disappear in bank mm-hmm. Charges. Mm-hmm. So they wait until they collected enough money before it goes out. But also what has happened in the past is there is within the annual conference an office that releases a check to GBGM. Mm-hmm. I've had people call and say, oh yeah, the money came, it is sitting somewhere there, but the money hasn't even left that office to come to GBGM. Mm-hmm. So sometimes these are all human failures or human breakdowns. And so what I usually tell people that we will check, and usually when you check, the office will call and apologize and let you know the person didn't release the check or something or other happened. The other thing that happens is most of the offices where those checks originate, people are busy. They are doing a whole lot of things at the same time. And sometimes they're not so mindful to remember that people really depend on that check. And what happens again is there are a million people who depend on that check, but he's also has another million issues that they are handling. So this in the past has been an issue that is being corrected. The agency is working very, very hard to put into place ways that are going to be helpful for everybody in the long run so that these delays are avoided.
One of the things I can kind of piggyback on that is that in one of the ways that we have addressed that is annual conferences all use different kind of accounting systems. One of the things that we have been doing over the last quadrennium is meeting with our annual conference treasurers in order to make sure that our systems are able to kind of talk to each other. So that way, even if they have funds that they may not process completely until the end of the month, we're kind of aware of that the funds are coming. And so GCFA has been a real leader in trying to make sure that we have similar accounting systems at every annual conference level in order for these systems to kind of talk to each other. And so that makes the process a little bit quicker. Another way that we're addressing that is for the processing. We have a particular processing goal. 23 days is around, it's probably the long end of it. And so once we receive that, gifts are always sent out on, I believe, on the 23rd of each month to the different areas around the country, I mean around the world.
Is that for credit cards too, 23 days?
Depending. For credit cards, I believe it does, it's the same for credit cards. I guess what I was trying to reiterate is that there is a difference between when you send the gift directly to GBGM or when you just give it through your church or send it to your annual conference. Sure.
Is you sending the gift to the right office. Sometimes it's a gift that is going to the advance, but it goes to AMCO. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a gift that is going to AMCO, but it goes to missionary services. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to facilitate the board as well, so that the check lands at the right desk. And it doesn't have to go through the different offices before they can identify where it belongs.
I can also give you please don't send funds to that address. There is a particular lockbox number or address that we encourage people to send it through. You can, again, give online. And please do not send to individual staff members, because that is definitely not the quickest way for your gift to get to the intended ministry.
We have a room full of people here who I think are pretty experienced mm-hmm. at sending funds.
Sure.
I just want to encourage, I know that I'm sure I do not fully appreciate the challenges of trying to manage funds in an area with such limited banking system mm-hmm. and limited technical infrastructure. Mm-hmm. But it is demotivating to some of our churches to raise money, give a gift for a project, mm-hmm. have it appear on the advance website with the appropriate documentation, and yet we know the mm-hmm. district superintendent doesn't receive it for 6 months. Mm-hmm. It's demotivating, yeah. And it hurts our fundraising efforts. So mm-hmm. anything that can be done to shrink that time period is very important.
Yeah. Again, like you're saying, it is a challenge. We process hundreds of thousands of gifts a year from different individuals and churches, but again, the cycle from once it leaves GBGM to how those gifts are dispersed once they're in the country is a real challenge. It's a continuing challenge, not only in Liberia, but some other places around the world where, again, there's technological issues, banking issues, we thank you for your patience, but if you are aware of that, please contact us, and we'll be able to track the gift and make sure that we're able to tell you exactly where those funds are and what the particular holdup or challenge is that we're facing in dispersing the gift.
We have just a few minutes,
sure.
And since we have Wi-Fi connection, mm-hmm. would you mind? I think some people in here might know how to track gifts.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could just walk people through how to get to the advance side, look up an advance special and track those gifts,
okay.
I think some people would benefit from that.
That'd be great. Is this mic? Oh, my bad. I thought that was a mic. I speak pretty loud, so I'll feel like I should be able to explain this for you all. UMCmission.org.
gift tracking system here. Whenever a person gives a gift, you can always find the gift here, whether it's to, you can search by project number. Somebody give me a church.
Put 15126 in.
Okay.
Yeah. For the project number.
We'll do it by project number.
Mm-hmm.
15126 in.
126 in.
So once you type in the project number, you can sort your gift by amount, gift date, release date, church name, conference number. Let's do by gift date to see the most recent gift. And also you can select here, you can get all totals for the first 100, the first 50. Let's go to all. Give you a list of all projects that have been given, particularly if you do it by date, the most recent projects. So the most recent one is from First United Methodist Church in Pontiac to the library reconstruction project. They gave about $212.50. And so you'll find a listing of every single gift to that that project. Now, another interesting thing, I don't know, is this Explorer? If you right-click, well, maybe it's on, just on my computer, but you can actually, on some computers, you can actually create an Excel spreadsheet out of this particular list. On some browsers, I believe, you can make a spreadsheet out of this or any listing of advanced projects. And I can show you how to do that later. any questions about this?
Was that anything that was received?
Yes. No, it was actually been processed by our office. So the last one we have posted here is from November the 13th.
Project number.
Yeah.
Well, unless you know the exact name.
Yeah.
You type in Ghana Hospital, you get nothing. Mm-hmm. But if you get Ghana United Methodist Hospital,
exactly.
And that's the easiest.
It's options.
And also, you can find down there by date. You can just put like what date you want, like 2012 or whatever it is, and you can do that rather than everything.
But once you have the number or other way of identifying, either you can find out by the church or you can do it by the number. Again, you can look at all the gifts your church has given over the last year. If you find your local church, put in a zip code for that church. You can find all the gifts for a particular church. But once you do all that and make the identification, just click submit, and that's where you, that's how you, the project will come in. Or the listing of gifts will come in. Any other questions about gift tracking or any other gift card?
That's after you push the button.
Okay.
Yeah.
So once you fill out this information, I believe you're able to give. You can say this is an honorary gift here, or a memorial gift. And then it lets you type in in memory of or in honor of a particular person. And at the end of the process, it will give you an option. Any other questions about gift tracking or in advance, missionary support? I'll be around for the rest of the afternoon and tomorrow, and if you wanted to have a personal conversation or a conversation about Liberia or any other mission field that you may be interested in, let me know, and hopefully I'll be able to answer your question. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, David, very much. We'll take a 15-minute break and come back together, and Bunny will lead us in a conversation about construction projects.
Thank you.